Hi, everybody. Good morning and welcome to our morning devotional. As you are probably aware by now, we are in a special Lent devotional series, as in we're not going to be going through a book from beginning to end, or rather we're just kind of hopping around the Old and New Testaments just preparing our hearts for this season of Lent that we are in. And so today's passage is from Philippians chapter 2. We'll just be reading from verses 5 through 8. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let me read this for us. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Amen. I find myself coming back to this passage often because it reminds me of who Jesus is and why he came and what this means for us. You might recognize that I really do refer to Philippians 2 quite a lot. And what's really interesting about this passage is that many scholars consider these verses, and actually up until verse 11, to have been a hymn or a song from the early church. And in my Bible, in my English Bible, it's kind of written as one block, sort of as like a chunk of text and paragraphs. But actually, if you look at the Greek translation, it's broken down into lines, sort of like what you might see in the Psalms. So it's sort of like a song or a hymn of some kind that the early church sang. And it's kind of cool to know that. It's kind of cool to know that the early church had songs and hymns that they sung as a means of remembering Jesus and the gospel message. And this isn't my main point for today, but as a side note, this is the reason why we as a church, and really, you know, all churches, why we sing songs of worship as part of our Sunday worship. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, about why we do this and anything like that, but the time of musical worship is meant to be a time of both encountering God and learning about who he is. Similar to how a sermon teaches and also is meant to draw us closer to God, the musical worship is meant to point us to the truths of the gospel, which is why it's important for our worship songs to be theologically accurate, as well as, of course, artistically creative. And so that's a total side note right now, but I just wanted to point that out for us. But anyway, it seems the early church sung this hymn as a way to teach one another about Jesus. And it starts by saying Jesus was in the form of God, meaning he was and is God. He is the second person of the Trinity, co-equal with God, and yet he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, or as it says in some other translations, a thing to be held on to for advantage. He didn't think of it as something he was compelled to hold and keep, something he just held tightly to just to keep his way of life, but instead, he emptied himself, came into this world as a human, being born in the likeness of men. Growing up, I think I remember hearing someone once say that this would be sort of like one of us as a human being becoming an ant and living among ants. It would be like forgoing my rights and abilities as a human, bigger and greater, both literally and metaphorically, and capable of doing far more than an ant, and intentionally choosing to become a little ant. Now, if you know anything about ants, ants are impressive. But I think we can all agree that they're not on the same level as us, as humans. We are able to do far more. We are infinitely greater than an ant. This comparison gives us some reference for what Jesus did, but it still fails to capture the true essence of Jesus' act of humility. He is God, the God who spoke all of creation in heaven and on earth into existence, the God who is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, the God whom all of creation worships. This God took the form of a servant and came into this world, not even as a full-grown man, but as a helpless baby. From there, he obviously grew up and taught and ministered, and then he humbled himself even further to the point of death. Again, think about who God is. God, as he is, cannot die. He was and is and always will be. Yet again, God came into this world, came in the form of a human, and took on the limitations of all of that and what that meant. And not only that, but he died. And not just any death, but death on a cross. We'll likely talk more about this as we get closer to Easter. And As we talk about his crucifixion a little bit more in a more focused kind of way. But in short, crucifixion is considered, even to this day, one of the most brutal, inhumane ways to kill somebody. The end goal of crucifixion isn't simply to kill a person, it's to torture them as they very slowly, very painfully, work their way towards their last breath. In Jesus' day, it was reserved for the worst of criminals. It wasn't just even for anybody. It was for the worst of the worst. And I know this isn't a very comfortable thing to think about, but this is what Jesus, who, again, was in the likeness of God, endured by coming into this world. Now the question, of course, is why? Why did Jesus do this? Well, as many of you may know, it was for you and for me. It was to make a way to the Father by becoming an atoning sacrifice for our sin. It was so that the sin that separated us from God would be removed and we could live in communion with the Father both now and for eternity. If you've been following along with this Lent Devo series, you'll remember that last week we turned our focus to the theme of sin. We read passages about how our sin has separated us from our God. Well, Jesus coming into the world is what has changed our fate. We were once destined to destruction, but because of Jesus, who humbled himself beyond what we can even imagine, because of that, we have life. So as we have been doing throughout this Lent season, I want to encourage us once again to take some time to turn our attention to Jesus. Maybe take some time right now to let the reality of what Jesus did to sink in. And by that I mean, yes, focus on and think about what he did on the cross, because that's certainly something that's important for us to reflect on, but also even simply think about and reflect on his coming into this world, what that means, how profound that is, that God would do that he would live and walk among us. Take some time to reflect on all of these things. Let's also give thanks, because he didn't have to do this. Jesus didn't have to come into the world. He didn't have to humble himself to do all of these things. And yet he did. He chose to do that so that we may have life, that through him we would have life today. And so let's reflect, take some time to reflect. I encourage you to take some time to reflect on this today, to give thanks, to pray prayers of thanksgiving and gratitude. But for right now, let me close for us as I wrap up this Devo. Lord God, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into this world. You didn't have to. You didn't have to come. You didn't have to become a man and to be limited in all of the different ways you were limited. You didn't have to humble yourself even further by dying on the cross. And yet you did. You willingly chose to do these things so that we could have life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Lord, I want to praise you and thank you for the life that we have because of what you have chosen to do. And Lord, may we go through each of our days, this day today, not only knowing this in our minds, but let this continue to form and shape us as we look to you during this Lent season. So God, we thank you. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.